Okay.
When's the last time you used a nose hair trimmer?
I don't know where it is.
It's in my purple thingy.
Oh. I just like to sniff. Just kidding.
And oop.
Greetings, Internet. Welcome to But I'm Still a Good Person by Vince Nicholas. I'm Vince Nicholas. I'm joined by my sparkling wifey, Carolyn Nicholas.
Hi.
Hello, honey. Thank you for joining me on our bed for our little program here. Okay. So we visited my mom in San Diego, and then we went to Julian, which is a tiny, picturesque town about an hour east of San Diego, and my parents to spread my dad's ashes. So let's talk about what's really important, honey, what we ate. So we arrive in San Diego, get to my parents' house, 10:30, 11-ish. Right away, my mom goes with the Vietnamese spring rolls with fish sauce. These are like comfort to me. They scream comfort. They scream family. They scream home. I love them.
I love spring rolls. I love Vietnamese food, and I never really ate it until I met you, but now it's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah. We wish there were more in West Sacramento. So my mom does the shrimp spring rolls, but she throws pork in there, which some restaurants do, some people do, and she uses ancient Vietnamese marinade for the pork. She puts it in the air fryer and puts sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce on the pork. Ooh, if my aunties only knew. No, she does a light coating, and it's fine. It's there to support. To me, spring rolls is all about the fish souse, which is sugar, fish sauce, and
vinegar.
Water.
Oh,
I forget.
Fake Vietnamese.
And oop.
Equal parts sugar, water, fish sauce. You can throw some red pepper, chili flakes in there. Maybe a little garlic if you're feeling daring. But the simplicity of the shrimp spring roll, which is really just rice paper. What kind of nudes are they?
Glass noodles?
Yeah, glass nudes. Shrimp, which is barely marinated, if at all, just cooked. And then the pork, which is marinated with an ancient Vietnamese marinade of sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. And then some vegetables.
Lettuce. Is it basil leaves?
Yeah. Yeah, cilantro also.
Oh, spring rolls are so fresh.
Yeah.
And light.
Yeah, all those fresh ingredients dipped in that Vietnamese fish sauce. It screams warm and comfort to me, and I love it. It was a good start to our dining adventure. You brought down a loaf of blueberry, of your famous blueberry lemon loaf, to my parents. And you were actually nervous.
Yeah, I've never flown with food. I mean, I've flown with packaged snacks.
Yeah,
but I baked this the night before, and then I wrapped it up in foil, and I put it in like a gift bag.
Yeah.
And that was my carry-on on the airplane. And I didn't know if they were going to allow it.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to get trampled or knocked over and messed up.
Yeah. You Googled, will TSA confiscate my... pastries. Turns out it's fine. And I've seen people bring like freaking 3-item combos of Panda Express and eat them on the plane. Food is fine. Liquid is where you go wrong. But you brought one of your blueberry lemon loaves, and then my mom made me go get some ice cream from Vaughn's supermarket down there. And that was like our second, it was like our dessert / mid meal / next thing we ate. It was really good. Baskin Robbins ice cream from Vaughn's. And then 5:45-ish came, and my mom's like, all right, next food. So she's got the carne asada. And she's got the guac going. And my mom, her new thing is that she wants things to be as easy as possible. So a couple years ago, because they got a grill out in the backyard, and it's like built into the backyard. It's a really nice setup. But my mom's getting older. So she just wants things as easy as possible. So what she does now is she has like a hot griddle that you just plug into the wall, and then you cook it up there right on the table. It's like a Korean barbecue. I like that.
It was really fun. We sat there and the meat was sizzling right there.
It's interactive.
Yeah. Yes.
It's right in front of you. It's happening. So we did that, and my mom gets carne asada that's super good, super bomb, super tender. She says the Mexican oregano is key. But I love the carne asada she gets, and whipped it up. We're eating it. We're eating guac, tacos, some salad. We had tortilla chips, and it was a whole deal. And it's around 5:45. And she says, "So pizza at 7? And we were like, "My mom's love language is food."
Definitely.
All moms love language. You're always inquiring, Lennox and Luna, "Are you hungry?"
Yeah.
I do the same to Frankie Blue. My mom is unique because she likes to talk about how much everything costs. Like the deals she got, the bargains. The carne asada is $5.99 a pound.
And that oop.
Yeah, she loves bragging and telling us how much she saved, how she got a deal, how she got a bargain. That's my mum for you. One thing I noticed, so we're eating salad, and she still does oil and vinegar. Because my mom has no time for bottled dressing. Like, she can't stand ranch. Italian. She thinks it's a waste.
Yeah. She also says the oil and vinegar is healthier.
Yeah.
Which is probably true.
It is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But when I was growing up, the oil and vinegar, her salad dressing, the oil was like a big bottle of Mazola or Wesson. And then the vinegar was a red vinegar, like a giant bottle from Smart and Final, the one with the handle. But now my mom, who's doing very well in life, financially stable, if you will. She goes with the extra virgin olive oil and rice wine vinegar. Ooh, it's like dining with Jay Gatsby up in here. Grandpa Curtis, my mom's husband, he loves ranch dressing. This is where their love diverges. He puts ranch on rice and steak and vegetables. It just goes on. The man loves ranch dressing. And then he busted out a bottle that was like a red ranch. And we were like, "What's up with this?" And he said, "Well, I needed to make it last a little longer." But he wouldn't tell us what made it red.
Yeah, he didn't divulge the secret, so it's still a mystery. I tasted it.
I refused to taste it. I was like, no.
I couldn't identify what it was.
Yeah. And he still hasn't told us.
No. I don't know what I ate.
It's a mystery. Tell us. Next morning, breakfast, bacon, sausage, Grandpa Curtis's famous omelets. And then we had some toast with the bread. And the brand is called Bread and C-I-E, Bread and Chi. I'm not sure. It's a San Diego bakery. But the bread was jalapeno and cheese. That was a loaf. And you cut slices of it, put it in the toaster oven. Huge upgrade from our crappy 40-calorie per slice bread.
You only let us buy Walmart Great Value
bread,
which is terrible.
Yeah.
Good bread is the best thing in the world, authentic bakery.
It was so good. The cheese was in there. The jalapenos were in there. Threw some butter on it. Oh, my gosh. And, of course, my mom going on and on, she got it half off. Her section is the bargain area, like where the employees walk in and out their entrance to get to the back. And they usually have a couple shelves there. And things are 60% off, 80% off. She loves that place. She's always looking to save money. And she got this bread half off, normally $8. She got a loaf for $4. And it was worth it. It was super good. It was like, the bread was like just an upgrade. Everything was an upgrade when we visited my parents.
Yeah,
the bread, for sure. the bacon, the sausage, the Vietnamese food. The carne asada, We've tried carne asada. It was not good. it was bad. Very bad. So then we head to Julian. We plan to paint the town red. Start off at Julian Beer Company. And Julian, well, can you describe Julian, honey?
It's a small, old-fashioned, like a little California town that was established 150 years ago. It reminds me of Nevada City or old-fashioned Placerville.
Yeah.
It's like that. Yeah. It's up. It's sort of in the mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cold. It's so cute.
Yeah. It's super small. Like, it's probably 20% Nevada City. It's one street. It's literally called Main Street. You can get from one end to the other in 5 minutes walking. And I spent many a summer up there with my dad primarily. But it's cute, quaint, picturesque, old-timey. It's gorgeous. And it hasn't changed. It has not changed. It hasn't been gentrified. There's no Starbucks. There's no McDonald's. It stayed small, tiny. It's a little busy, but we found parking really quick. And you park on the street and that's it. There's no meters. There's no homeless. There's no crime. It's perfect. It's perfect in Julian. So we go to Julian Beer Company and we get a flight. And right away, because beer, it confounds me. I can't wrap my head around it. There's too much going on. I don't know anything. IPAs, stouts.
And their menu was very expansive.
Yeah.
We just know that we like light beer, you and I.
Right.
So that's what we stick to.
Right. So we got a flight. And I say, hey, man, the employee, like, just pick out four for us. Whatever. We just want light tasting beer. And he wouldn't do it. And it was busy. It was busy.
There's a huge queue behind us.
Yeah. But just pick out four. It could have been four Guinnesses or whatever.
He didn't have time for that nonsense, honey.
Yeah, yeah. But I like it when a bartender's like, oh, you're going to like this or try this.
I like that too.
Yeah.
Take the choice away from me.
Exactly. Exactly. But he did not do that for us. So we got a flight and I'm like, we're going to open a tab. And we had our flight and one was mid, but the other three were disgusting.
It was all bad,
not pleasant. So I went back to the register and I said, close that tab, my good man. So it was it was mad capped. Like, there were eight people behind us and then there was no one around, and it was just, I didn't want to have to wait 10 minutes for another beer or another flight. So we moved the party down to Quecho, which is a Mexican restaurant, and actually the location that Quecho's in, my dad used to take me there way back 30 plus years ago. Used to be Greasy Spoon, Greasy Diner, called Buffalo Bill's, and now it's a Quecho Mexican restaurant, upscale Mexican eatery, if you will. Super small. I remember being bigger, but I was eight, so what the hell do I know? And then we got the guac and chips, which were super busted.
Oh my goodness.
The guac was really good. And the chips were thick and crunchy.
Yeah.
And
fresh, salty. Homemade there. Yeah. So delicious.
Yeah. And then we got a taco plate with carne asada, which is where they give you the rice and the beans and the pico and some potatoes. And we got it with carne asada. It was terrible. Like, the carne asada, I hate it when places do this. They cut it up into cubes, like tiny little specks. Carne asada should be strips.
Right.
Like 2-inch strips of steak. The salsa was whack. There was just no taste, no flavor, no spice. The potatoes were like barely formed mashed potatoes. And they were supposed to be seasoned. And I was just like, oh, what the heck's going on? And this thing cost $18, dude. It was horrible. Put some respect on my dad's name. My mom, who is a Vietnamese woman in her late 50s, by the way, gets better carne asada than this restaurant. This Quecho restaurant trying to be genuine and authentic and is making trying to make a business out of serving Mexican food. My mom gets better carne asada than these people.
They could learn a thing or two from Grandma Tian.
Exactly. And by the way, if you want to know where Grandma Tian gets her carne asada, it's a Mexican supermarket on Poway Road where the Pick and Save used to be. So a little bit of a drive for Julian, but get you some good carne asada. Business will go through the roof. Gangbusters. So we're drinking. You had a few margaritas.
Yes.
How'd you like them, darling?
They were great.
I got a Tecate Light in a can. So he hands me the can. It's chilled, whatever. And I'm looking at it like, why am I drinking this can of beer?
I tried to get you to get something different and special.
Yeah.
Like something we don't usually have.
Yeah. Well, I looked at the can of beer and I was like, I can get a six pack of this for $5, whatever, $7-$8. And this one can of chilled beer costs $7. Never again.
No.
Never. Always. I always got to go for the draft. For the pour. Because it's fresh.
On tap.
Yes. It's different. It's crisp. It's more refreshing. And again, I can get a six pack for a few bucks. And some guy just handing me a chilled can of beer. Never again. No more. So we leave Quecho. And we go to Julian Pie Company. Back down to the other side of Main Street.
We were on a food rampage. Yeah. A food and drink extravaganza.
Yeah. Bang, bang, bang. And we go to Julian Pie Company. We got a slice of warm Dutch caramel apple pie with a scoop of cinnamon ice cream. They warm up the pie.
Oh, my goodness.
This costs over $10 for a slice of pie and a scoop of ice cream. But you know what? Worth it.
I would have paid $20.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so amazing.
It just, we shared it. And it was just, it was so perfect. It was so flipping good. Worth $10. Worth $1 million.
This is what Julian is known for now.
Yeah.
They're apples. Yeah. So you got to get apple pie when you go there.
Yeah. They're known for their apple orchards and apple pie. Apple cider is a thing. Although we had a drink of that. That was one of our flights. It was fine. Eh. It tastes like all the other hard ciders out there. And then in around 8:30, we got a pizza at Romano's, which is the one Italian restaurant in town. The sauce was pesto, and then sausage and roasted garlic for the toppings. And called them up because they don't have online ordering. Again, you're in the country. They do things different out there. And then it was just across the street. So called up for takeout. And we walk in. We say, can we eat this here? And they were like, sure. So we sat down and had that pie. I see here in my notes, honey, that you don't like pesto anymore. How will our love survive?
I know. We've always enjoyed pesto together. I don't know. My taste buds have changed.
Mm.
I'm not feeling it like I used to.
Yeah. So you're just a classic red sauce kind of lady.
Yeah.
Now? I see. Another option they had was fettuccine alfredo sauce.
Yeah, that's okay if you're doing like a chicken topping, I guess.
Mm.
I mean, there's a place for that in the world, but I'm just sticking to classic red.
Okay. Yeah, I was up for pesto. Green is beautiful.
It is pretty.
It's way more aesthetic, but I can get down with the red pie, red sauce on the pie. Next morning, we stayed at Julian Gold Rush Hotel. Homemade breakfast. They start you off with homemade granola made in-house. It was good. It tastes like every other granola out there.
Oh, I love granola.
I do too. I love granola.
Yeah.
It's a carb bomb. But this was nice. They give you a little bowl of it and a little side of milk. You have some granola cereal there. And then the coup de grace, they served waffles. And the waffles are not made with water for the batter. They use hard apple. No, not hard. They don't put alcohol on the waffles.
Alcohol-free waffles.
They use apple cider instead of water.
Oh, yeah.
In their batter mix. And it comes out and they give you a little thing of syrup. So flipping good.
And it had slices of apple on top.
Yeah.
Oh, so delicious.
Yeah.
And so homey. Yeah. So warm.
And it was like this hotel, very, very small, very old. There's no continental breakfast and there's no menu. They're like, here's your bowl of granola with some milk. And then here's your waffles with some fresh fruit. I like that.
I love that.
It was like portion control and excellent quality as opposed to like a bunch of scrambled eggs and crappy, musty Jimmy Dean link sausages. It was really good. I wanted to ask for seconds, but I don't know if they do that.
I don't think they do.
It's not a restaurant.
It's like a bed and breakfast. They just they serve you their breakfast and they plan the menu ahead of time and you get your serving and then that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was lovely.
But they also had unlimited tea and coffee all day, which was really good.
Yeah. And hot apple cider. Hot
apple cider in the evening.
From 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. That was a good time. So that day, at 11 o'clock, my mom texted me, "When will you be home? Because I want to know when to start the pizza. I already finished corned beef and egg rolls." And I was like, okay, mom. You mean business. Came home. She served the egg rolls Bon Quinn style. I'm mispronouncing it. Fake Vietnamese. It just means they're on some rice noodles and there's some vegetables going on. Some fish sauce.
Oh, my favorite dish.
Super good. Super good. And then the corned beef, she was inspired by you, who was inspired by me eating corned beef from my mom 3 decades ago.
The corned beef circle.
Yeah, the corned beef circle of life. She put some potatoes in there, green beans. It was super good. And then we got Grandpa Curtis. He requested a peach apple pie from Julian Pie Co. And we brought that home with us. And we're in the backyard eating some more Baskin-Robbins ice cream. Peach apple pie. It was living. It was living.
It was the peak of my life.
Next morning, we're at the airport. I see here in my notes, honey, you bought an $11 burrito at the San Diego airport.
I did. A chorizo burrito.
Yeah.
And it was bussin'.
I wouldn't go that far. it wasn't bad, but it wasn't good either. But it was hot.
Yes.
And it was perfectly serviceable. And I'm glad you bought it because I was like, I ain't buying no food at no airport. But then you brought it over. I was like, give me a bite of that. Give me a bite of that. So these 3 nights, I gained 11 pounds. I already lost 6. Okay, mom. Hi. I planned ahead. I brought 4 shirts. I brought 2 tighter fitting shirts, size large. And then I brought 2 looser fitting shirts, size XL. And I went home on the aeroplane wearing an XL t-shirt. Food is my mom's love language. And it's really social. It's how you show love. It's familial. It's ritualistic. Food is where we gather and all the blah, blah, blah. It's all the cliches you can name. So I want to talk about our hotel, Julian Gold Rush Hotel. They got the lobby, and then they have a room called the parlor room. And the entire hotel is stuck in the 1890s. It was established EST period 1897, founded in 1897. Honey, can you talk about the lobby, the parlor room, just the whole vibe, if you will?
It's every inch is covered in some sort of old-fashioned decor.
Yeah.
Old-timey radio.
Yeah.
Bookshelves, photographs on the wall, plants.
It's really a time machine or time capsule.
Yeah, it is. There's no TVs. There's no modern technology.
Yes, yes.
There's fires burning. I mean, there's electricity.
Yes.
There's lights. But it was like a step back in time. Yeah. And I loved it. Yeah. I thought it was such a fun place to be. We just walked around and looked at things. They had newspapers
that
you sat and read.
Yes. They had books. They had board games. They had music from whatever, 1897, who I would classify it as the roaring 20s. Now, it was on a Bluetooth speaker, and they were using Spotify because I overheard the employee telling the Bluetooth speaker to play Spotify. But they hid it behind like an old-timey radio.
Yeah, it came out of the old radio, yeah. So it felt authentic.
Yeah, yeah. And the music they were playing was fun. We've been listening to it here at home. I just tell Spotify to play some music from the roaring 20s. It's a grand old time. But yeah, no TV in the lobby, nor our hotel room. The morning after, you stayed in bed a little, and I went to the lobby, started drinking some coffee, and I was chatting with an employee, some nice gal. We're just yucking it up for a half hour, just drinking our coffee, sitting there in the quiet. It was super charming. It's just nice. And I can dig a fancy boutique hotel, all modern and all that stuff. But this place it hit the right note. It's really, it goes with the Julian motif.
Yes.
It was a good time. The room, on the other hand, it was tiny.
Tiny and adorable.
It was tiny and adorable. There's room for the bed, and then there's room to walk by the bed. And then there's a tiny bathroom, and the bathroom door doesn't even open all the way because clang, it hits the toilet. And it hit the toilet a few times, like, because we were just like doing our thing, whatever, living our best life. And I was like, is this toilet going to, I assume they have to reset the toilet. I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I did watch HGTV for a few years, 2 decades ago. But I imagine the door is constantly clang, hitting the toilet over and over. And you forget about it. And sometimes you push the door open and it hits the toilet a little too hard. I'm like, whoa, this is poor design. The clawfoot tub. I mean, this is an Architectural Digest. And it was a little precarious getting in and out. We had a few cervezas. And I could see if you had many more cervezas and trying to get in the tub, or worse, getting out of the tub, you could slip and fall. That wouldn't be good. Yeah, there was no TV, so it was a little boring. But it was charming. It was perfect. Fit the aesthetics of the town of Julian. Liz and Alan, you may want to plug your ears for the next 10 seconds. We did the boom boom, honey. We made my dad proud.
Yes.
On their cheap mattress and their rickety metal bed frame. But engaged in marital hijinks. I wanted to buy a bunch of t-shirts for my parents, for your parents, for Lennox and Luna, for me and you. But and we went in and out of many shops. And Julian Pico, Julian Bierko, all these places. And they had no XL t-shirts, no L t-shirts. It went straight from XS or small to 2XL. So like get with the inventory, start buying some XL t-shirts. We ended up getting a nice mug for your parents, a nice mug for us. We got a Julian Pico refrigerator magnet. I wish we could have bought a lot more. Also glad we didn't buy a lot more. But what we got was a good quality and not too pricey. So spreading my dad's ashes, we went to a place called the Eagle Mine. It's just a short walk from Main Street. My dad, way back again, this is 30 plus years ago, 35 years ago. He was a tour guide at the Eagle Mine for a couple months. I wouldn't say a year, but I don't know. I was only there for the summer because I was off school and spent a few weeks in the summer there with him, and he was a tour guide. And I just remember going on that tour 80 times a day and being bored and knowing the entire little script they have. But I also had a blast. It was just, there's tons of trees and dirt and there's tourists everywhere. And I just, it was just a kid heaven, I guess you could say. So we're walking to the mine, got my dad's ashes in a little vial, a little beaker. And we're walking down to the mine. And man, like my emotions started flowing because I remember all this stuff from 3 decades ago and the signs and the buildings. And so, yeah, I was all up in my feels. It was super busy. Lots of tourists. And they're selling tours to the tourists, of the mine. And so I wanted to talk to the guy. We found out pretty quickly who was the owner, who was running the show. And I wanted to talk to the guy and just be like, hey, man, one, do you remember my dad? Two, can I bury my dad somewhere on the premises? With respect, I didn't want to do it in secret. I didn't want to do it behind his back. So we wait for things to die down and we approach him and I was just a wreck. I just start crying. And thankfully, honey, you were there. You took over. Can you talk about what was going through your mind, what you said? I was a mess.
Yeah, I just tried to explain to him that your dad used to work here and you spent time with him here. And yeah. So we were wondering if we could spread some of his ashes on the grounds. And we showed this guy. We found out this guy has been working there since the 60s.
Yeah.
So he was there when you were.
Yeah.
And we showed him a few pictures of your dad on your phone.
Yeah.
He didn't really remember him. Yeah,
he was trying, but he's old and this is from three plus decades ago.
But he was so friendly. He was like, absolutely. And we have a little cemetery over there. You could do it there and you're welcome to.
Yeah.
He was very nice and he was really interested. He kept wanting to look at more pictures to see if his memory would get jogged.
Yeah, a little makeshift cemetery. He was trying to remember my dad, but he also said, oh, that might have been when my brother was running this mine and his brother passed several years ago. I could feel his him wanting to remember my dad. But on the other hand, he was running a business and he was like, why is this guy crying? Crying in my gift shop 3 feet in front of me, and I don't know quite how to take this whole deal. It was a whole deal. It was a mess. But eventually we got the story out. And they have a makeshift cemetery just on the grounds. And so we walk over there and we just found a cozy little spot and spread my dad's ashes. I didn't say anything. I said everything that I wanted to in New York and Endicott. But it was fitting because my dad loved nature. He loved the outdoors. He loved Julian. And it's cool that we got to spread some of his ashes in New York because that's where he grew up. That's where he's from. But he quickly hightailed it out of there in his early to mid-20s. And then the second spot we spread his ashes was at the beach in San Diego. I was with my parents. And that's cool because he liked the beach. But I thought Julian was the most fitting, the most appropriate place to spread his ashes. And it was perfect. And rest in power to my dad. Overall, we ate a bunch. The hotel was lovely. And the world tour of my dad's ashes, the 3-stop world tour of spreading my dad's ashes, has come to an end. It's sad. I'm trying to keep in touch with my Aunt Tina. We actually just bought her some olive oil from UC Davis. It's born and bred there at UC Davis. So we're trying to keep in touch, and hopefully we can see her next year, maybe in Vancouver. That's where her daughter lives with her husband, Kai. And yeah, that's the end of our adventure. But back to the carne asada. How can my mom, a Vietnamese woman in her early to mid-50s, get better quality carne asada than this restaurant trying to make its bread and butter from food? Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. I'm speechless.
It was a tale of two carne asadas, Grandma Tien's and Quecho. But their service was good. The margs were good. Margies. Their guac was super outstanding. And it was a cool vibe. So we end up talking to one of the waitresses there. I think she was the manager. And again, this was a shot in the dark. And I said, this is a shot in the dark. She was a friendly gal, whatever. We're chatting it up. But do you remember a waitress named Roxanne from 35 plus years? She didn't. She's barely 35, now that I think about it. But when my mom took me to this restaurant, I'm sorry, when my dad took me to this restaurant 3 decades ago, there was a waitress named Roxanne who I remember. She was Native American, hair in a braid, pretty lady. It was just, I knew she wouldn't know Roxanne, but I still wish she would have said like, oh yeah, Roxanne, she's so sweet. She's nice. She's retired. She lives up the hill there. And same with the guy at the Eagle Mine. I wish he would have been like, oh yeah, your dad, he was so cool. He was so funny. He was such a good natured guy. And I want honesty. I always want honesty, but part of me that wishes they would just, I would just say, oh yeah, I remember. Because who's it going to hurt? What's the big deal? Make me feel good.
But then you ask follow-up questions and then they'd stumble.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Okay. I would know they're lying. I would know they're lying and I'd be like, yeah, it's okay. Fist bump, we outie. Alrighty, are we done, honey?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're done. That's the end of the program. It's been fun, but not really. Let's all try a little harder next time. Like, comment, subscribe, follow, review, and rate. Or don't. Do whatever you want. You're a grown-up. Make your own decisions. Do what's best for your family. Please be sure to use our promo code for Eagle Mine and Julian. By the way, that place charges $15 per adult. And they were super busy. Like, we had to wait 15 minutes to talk to the owner because there was just people coming in, coming in, coming in. He had to sell tours, sell tickets, sell tickets, sell tickets. I was like, dude, you're making out bank.
The gold mine was super busy. The town of Julian itself was very busy. I was surprised.
Yeah.
They were making money all over that town.
Yeah. But it wasn't obnoxiously busy.
Right.
You could still get in and out, still find parking. You could still walk down the sidewalks. The mine, they have very few costs, very little overhead, I'm guessing. They're making out like gangbusters, $15 an adult, $8 a child. And another thing I noticed, the tour guides were just like my dad 3 decades ago. They're if not off the grid, they're very close to being off the grid. They're just countrymen, mountain men who don't have a regular 9-to-5. And they were older guys, 50s or 60s. But there's definitely a type of person giving tours to this mine. They're not office people, and they're a type. They're definitely typecast. Goodbye, my parasocial podcast friends. I love you. My wife and I love you. We hope you have a good day today and tomorrow. And sure, I may have cried like a baby in front of the mine owner. He was cool. And I'm glad I did. But it was difficult to speak. And I'm glad you were there, honey, as my translator. but I'm still a good person and we're still good people. Thank you for listening. Thank you for caring. Thank you for sharing. I hope you have a wonderful day / night. Oh, bye bye.
And that oop.
Ooh. We got chicken.
Is that crispy, juicy thing?
I can't eat no longer.
And that oop.